We're good. Haven't started yet. She protects her over the hole. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, this morning, we're looking at the sheriff budget with the workshop. It is January 21st, Monday morning. So I'm going to start with Sheriff Fitzgerald. If you'd like to make any opening remarks about your budget.
Well, thank you very much, Sheriff Wilson. What I would like to point out is that you see some new faces in the audience. As we continue to grow and mature in office, we have positions that are changing, and so we want to bring those fair parents within the office up to the level of better understanding the budget and the operational management of the sheriff's office. So we have a few that have not been here before, but are in the learning process. Also, as we talk through our budget, I have a few items that I'm not sure the appropriate place that you'd like to discuss them at, but just to bring them up here so we can plug them in wherever you feel appropriate. One, we have, we're requesting a new medical line item, to be placed in the 99 line item, and that is for when we have inmates that we are required to take off premise from the jail and take to the hospital. Those costs really fluctuate, and it really skews and really puts us at a disadvantage in, first of all, trying to prepare our budget, and then second of all, with the amount of money we put in that line item to try to stay to it, because it always blows it completely out of whack. So we're asking for the medical portion be divided out. We will keep the things in the medical line items, such as the medical contract, employee vaccinations, and those things will still stay in our medical contract, but those things out of our control is what we're asking for tonight.
Let's talk about that one when we hit that part of the expenses.
Very
okay.
Good. Very good.
And we have been going revenues first and then expenses and kind of moving down line item to help everybody keep on track.
What we've have also done in the past is in between the revenues and the expenses, we would do the 99 because we had the Holton and several other things in the 99.
If it's worked before, it should work this time. But that's good with everybody.
Very good.
Okay.
So the next thing that we have is we're requesting when we trade vehicles in that we're allowed to keep one for our third full car. There's been a number of times that we have been out, we called the administration building, and their full car has already been spoken for, and so we have employees have tried their own cars. So we're asking for us to be allowed to keep a third full car. Then just as a reminder, the end of last month, I think it was September 27th, I sent the Board of Supervisors a email stating that one of our vehicles that will be on rotation for next year, we went ahead and traded in. We looked at the cost, mechanical cost that would take to repair that vehicle, but it's just not worth it. So we will make do. We have a pickup that's being replaced this year, and if we need a patrol vehicle, that will fit nicely until the next year comes along. We're able to bring our whole vehicle back up to the total. Next, we have we are asking for a new person in communications, dispatcher. 3 years ago, I think it was, maybe more. The board gave us an extra one, bringing us up to the number that we are now. And we found that our overtime, minus, of course, sick time, but all the other overtime had just dropped off the table. It was really remarkable. Currently, we're down one dispatcher. We have FMLA, we have medical, or military, and things like this. And we're finding that we are really back at a position where we feel that we need another dispatcher in communication. And again, it not only will help with cutting down the overtime, but it also helps employee get some burnout and being fatigued and workers. Then we're looking at currently in the jail, we're down two female detention officers. We say that because that certainly impacts the overtime budget in DC as well. The we're experiencing a little bit of difficulty, which I think every public safety agency in the state, if not further, is experiencing. about 1% unemployment. Everybody that wants a job has one. So when we do a test, it's not uncommon for us to maybe get 25, 30 people on the list, and then half of that will show up when it comes to testing time. And then those that show up, maybe half to less than half, will have the qualifications that we require for the position. So we're doing a lot more advertising, recruiting, and things like this, and it's just tough right now. So we're trying new things to try to bring in recruitment and to try to bring people to the table when we're doing our hiring.
And I have a clarifying question on that, is that those two positions are already listed as vacant, are they correctly? No, those are two separate from what is in the front. I thought we'd already approved those.
There are two vacant, and whoever's vacant right now, or as of November, is in the front.
Correct.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking.
The telecommunicator that they're requesting
is a brand new one.
It's totally separate.
But the two detention officers you're down are already in as being just vacant right now.
Right.
They need to be filled.
And we're down one detention officer that we're trying to fill. One telecommunicator.
Which was the staff.
It's a dispatch position. We have one position that we're down here, and we're trying to fill that.
Plus a new one.
And we're asking for a new one, yes. And
all
we're
right.
asking that new one to be. For training purposes and being brought up to speed, that instead of waiting until July 1st, if possible, to hire as soon as possible.
Okay, and you had to, it seems like you had an item or two on your list. I'm sorry to interrupt, I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then bring up the, we've always had some issues in the budget over the past years that obviously comes out right off the top. And again, we bring them back. We have a need for them. And the things that I'm talking about you see in there is, one, we have a speed trailer for $10,000. We were the first agency in the county to get a speed trailer years ago, but that speed trailer wore out, went hot, and so we've been without one. But we constantly get calls throughout the summer from the communities and this wanting a speed trailer just because we were able to do that one time, they still call for it, even though we don't have it. Another item is...
Okay, and I'm starting to hear we're probably going to hit these on the individual expenditure lines, just so, you know, so please run your list, but, you know, maybe...
Second thing is the dive boat, and this boat is flat bottom-style boat, and it's more of a raft, and so you can go into shallow water or swift water rescue and things like this that the dive team needs occasionally.
Yeah. I know I've got dive equipment, Mark, as we go through,
okay.
And some other things just to camp. So moving
and
on, kind of.
The third thing was the drone. Asked for that in previous years as well, and that comes in $28,000, approximately $25,000 for the drone itself, and then $3,000 for support, which includes pilots and things like that that need to fly for FAA regulation. And then other things that we can talk about if people have questions.
I'm just going to make a quick piece of information for everyone, and then we'll go ahead and go back and see if there want to be any opening questions or if we want to start on the budget itself. But as we got the preliminary financial numbers from Lisa Markley, just to let you know, we've got a gap between what was asked for and what we actually anticipated revenue. Okay, a gap the wrong way, so that if you understand that as we go through some things, just as you understand that. Okay. I mean, a whole for all of us, but let's see, is it a map on
our revenues are projected low or the entire county combined revenue?
Actually, well, if you want to look at it that way, the entire county. Okay, right. Or projected just what we know the ask is right now is. Under total ask is under or over, sorry, what the total revenues are expected. Just so you know. Okay, so I'm going to turn to the other two supervisors if they have any beginning opening remarks, and then we'll start running exactly how we've been doing it before. Start
starting with the revenue for your department, and then going on to the expenses. The 99 account, you want to discuss in between, and I believe the rest of them will probably be addressed as we write that one.
Actually, I have a question, but nothing's
wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would just say to the board that, when dealing with the sheriff's budget, we have typically dealt with it a little differently than we've dealt with our departments, especially, and even our other elected officials. And however we choose to do it today, we choose to do it. But the board for the last several years, I would say probably the last 8 years, Sheriff, has been pretty careful about nitpicking individual line items, and we talk more about global dollars available for growth. So it's been and I'll just start with this. It looks to me like the request here is a $170,000 increase in operations. I'm not talking about personnel, it's just an operation that's about 11% increase. And our conversation typically has been about what kind of increase the county could globally actually be able to afford. This is our second largest budgetary item now in the county, and we're so fortunate to have outstanding professionals administering it. And so, Supervisor Olson, I'm just encouraging us to consider going down the same path we've gone through the last couple years and beyond that Story County has gone down over the last 8 years or more, where we're careful about getting into potential micromanagement situations, and we talk more about what kind of available resources we have.
Okay. All right. So basically, I have questions about the budget based upon the approach of we don't ask you if it's appropriate to spend tax dollars that way. Okay, but we just tell you, you do or don't get an increase, or you get an increase of so much, and we leave it to you to go back and find where to make all those cuts. Is that pretty much what we've done then with your department?
Yeah, so that's what we've done, but let's just be clear on what the state code says about this. At the end of the day, it truly is a bottom line kind of budget that we talk about, because as the elected sheriff, Sheriff Fitzgerald gets to decide how those funds are appropriately spent for his office. And so we've really taken that approach to this point where it has been, so the fun conversation between me and Sheriff Fitzgerald have been, oh, you're requesting $200,000 and I believe the county can only afford to go up $80,000. And talking through how that looks without us saying, oh, you don't need a drone. Last couple of years, I mean, we haven't said you don't need a drone. You decided that based on the available funding, you weren't going to purchase a drone that year.
I understand, and I guess Sheriff Fitzgerald and I have talked about this too, about for each department, and if they actually, for each elected office, if we give you a dollar amount, and you decide how to spend it, and you're accountable to how to do it. And I'm fine with that. And I'm going to need to go back and re-add here for a couple minutes just to figure out what I'm comfortable then as far as an increase. Because it will tell you, our memo this year said we'd like to try and have no new staff, but we understand we knew about these really in advance, okay? But some of the other departments took it as we prefer and meaning, oh, let's ask, okay? And we've already approved one position, a new position in conservation, or theoretically approved, okay? And then also, even though we asked everybody to keep their line item expenses at the same level, we've gotten in requests and for additional items, which we're trying to ferret through, okay? So if you're looking for just a percentage of how much you can increase, really, or the dollar amount of what you can increase is what you're looking for, and you've got two new employee requests. So that's going to eat up more.
But that's not an operational. So that's not how we view the operation, right? We view personnel separate from operations. So that, in my mind, is a is a simple conversation of do we want to approve that position or not. If we approve that position, then we also fund that position. What I'm talking about, the $170,000 increase that I see, is not employee-related.
Strictly operational.
Correct.
I factor in an employee increase, however, so that's dollars that we've got to spend. And so in the, if you ask for an additional employee, then that money has to come from somewhere. So maybe we're not approving any, just theoretically, any increase at all for any of your operational expenses. Are you with me on that?
Yes. As I enter my 27th year as sheriff, I think I've demonstrated not only to this board, demonstrated to all the previous boards as well, that I've always viewed the budget as a negotiation and an agreement between my office and the board supervisors. And that's why when something is needed throughout the year, I just don't look at my budget, which I would have the legal right to do, and just buy that, because I know that that is not going to help anyone. I always come over and have a conversation with the board and look for, perhaps, I don't look at it as coming over to asking them. I start out by coming over and having a discussion with the board to see if what I'm asking for is reasonable or if it's not. And then if we decide I need additional dollars, that's when I come in front of the board meeting with a presentation to ask the board to consider that at that time. As an example of our good stewardship of the budget, which most years, I think every year, we've always given back. Some years we've given back very significant dollars. And last year, when we were asked not to increase, we actually came in with a budget under the amount that we had the previous year. But there are things, and the board knows, and I'm just asking the board to understand, there are certain things that, that increase in cost that we have no control. And these are things, as Rick has mentioned, we're the second largest budget. Having a large budget, the cost can go up. It's going to be seen as an increase. We work very hard to keep this budget down, and we look at what items were prepared that we need to make cuts. We have to laid out on which those will be, and we'll be prepared to make those after our discussion with the board this morning.
Okay, and if you can help refresh my memory also, that if I recall how the you approached the budget, Sheriff Fitzgerald, is that you have your staff make a list of everything that they would like to have, right? Everything that they feel is needed. And then you, that's the amount about what you say you're giving back from.
Well,
so rather than the allotted amount we give you, you're counting the give back is what, and then I see a couple shakes. So good. So you're giving back from what we actually are approving? Okay.
Well, if I'm understanding what you're saying here, in the other years when we gave money back, we had X amount of dollars appropriated to within our budget.
Okay.
We did not spend all those budgets.
Thank you.
Some departments that I were not necessarily in Story County, but others, if they have money left over, they'll hurry up and spend it throughout the year or the next year. They're already, you know. Again, we don't do that here. We look at what we need for the year, and anything that's over, we return to the county. That's what we give back.
Okay.
What you're talking about, I believe, in our budgeting process, we pretty much mirror what the board supervisors do here. I have all my department heads and special operations units present a budget to Connie, who's my budget manager. She will put that all together in a packet and then give it to the administration portion of our office, which is Captain Thomas, Connie, and I, and now also including Lieutenant Lennon. And we will then go through that because we know that the initial request is, I mean, it's like Christmas. So we go through there, and that's what you see in your budget book, the lines marked through that the sheriff has already taken out of the budget. Those aren't requests that are coming in. The other things are requests that if we have to make further cuts, we're prepared to do that. We understand that we can only spend what's appropriated.
Thank you. Question, please.
Yes. I'm sorry I asked you. No, go for it.
Can you give me an idea, just off the top of your head, how much money you have converted in the past years?
It's gone anywhere from $350,000 to $25,000.
Yeah, I would just say this for you guys to talk through if you think I'm saying differently. Since we changed the way we budgeted salaries, it's been somewhere in the $100,000 range each of those 3 years, that truly operational kind of dollars that have been budgeted that the sheriff's office has not spent by the end of the year. Connie, I think that's about right. You think that's about right?
Last year, I think it was $34,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it just depends on
the year.
And where I count this in, and I understand it's not a true give back, but I seem to recall the last 2 years that at least once you've come to the board at some point into the fiscal year and asked for unbudgeted expense, and you've been able to cover that from your budget, correct? So yes, there's been some money that has been unbudgeted, or some items that have been unbudgeted, but still you're able to fit within your total budget.
Just so you know, when we have an unbudgeted item, Sheriff Fitzgerald always goes to the commander and says, and how are you going to find this money?
Right.
The reason he brings it to you is because it is not in our budget list.
Okay, thank you. So even though, like last year, you may have given back, you gave back $36,000 cash or did not take it from the general fund. How's that? I mean, it's not like the budget, but you might have had, and just an example, like the console. What were they, $60,000 or something like that? Okay, so, but what you were able to say, had you not bought the console, was close to $100,000. Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you for taking this time to correct me on where I thought that money was coming from and also to explain to walk through. As I said, as far as my calculations go, I approached it a little differently. So, you know.
Since I had one of the more larger budgets, which is also one of the more complex budgets, I appreciate that this board does reach to my budget because that gives you an idea of the direction that I'm taking the sheriff from. And I need your support in order to do that as well as anything else. So specific questions you may have, if you want to go through it line item by line item, I appreciate looking at other professionals and being able to prioritize what our needs truly are. But at the same time, if there's something that you have a question on, I also appreciate you asking that. If nothing else, just for the learning team. So you understand what it is and why we're asking.
Okay. Right. So given that we're not, let's start with the revenues then. Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the revenues?
And these are small items. It's just for my education. Page 151 on the top, you've got a few items here that you've already seen, 117 or 117 or 630%. Of what was budgeted, but what you're looking at for next year is a bit lower. And I understand donations, those vary. So I was just wondering about the chunk two, and other general government fees.
Legal services.
Yeah. Legal services.
Other than that, all right. Linda, those two items you're looking at, items that are grant funds. So Lisa does the work to have those items throughout the beginning of the pay period. They're reimbursed at that time. Those are contract labor.
Those two are the contract labor for other from like I mentioned that you wasn't talked to other general government.
Okay, we're on revenue, correct?
Yeah.
And all right.
So part of the general fund there is all the reimbursement you get in overtime from
Oakland like Iowa State. Okay, those are the Iowa State football games. Contract work during Iowa State football games. They contracted us and now that the season is over, they're not probably going to be contracting us anymore.
So that's something that's seasonal rather than an equal expenditure throughout 12 months. That makes sense. Thank you. I can understand the donations, which, you know, we've spent in four figures. I don't know what you're getting in donations, so I can understand the volume.
This donation actually was, we have a
an alliance with Arrhythmia Alliance, mm-hmm. and we received funds, and then we went to put them into our 22,000 fund. That's why it seems so high, because yeah. we're not expecting more funds.
And it was higher in 18 and 17 as well, but I feel those are probably special projects. If you don't have any coming up that you know about, I can understand going down to the fund.
And that is our special law enforcement fund. Mm-hmm. So we're talking here that those are coming into, which does have a balance right now.
Okay. Can I, you said 27,000?
27,600.
All right. What about the dive team? Is that a separate pool of money?
No.
So the 27,600 is for, it could be used for the dive team also?
It's special law enforcement. The sheriff has the ability to determine how it's best to be used. There is a special line item in there that's just for dive team. So if somebody actually writes us a check and says, you want specifically to go to the dive team, we earmark it for that, mm-hmm. but it is part of that $27,000 that we've been talking about.
Okay, super. Because I'll have a follow-up, but I want to make sure Supervisor Merkin gets all the questions answered first. And
let's go back to the prisoner room board. This is just for my information. What are we charging a daily rate, and how's our collection? And how's our collection if you don't get it by the time you leave the jail?
Our daily rate differs from who we're holding for, and the return is not near as where we'd like. But that's one of the questions that we get from the state auditor each year, why we have such a large carryover in the amount of what we charge for commissary, or not commissary, but for the inmate hold, just because the individual person is going to come back and pay you. So they're always on the books, and we're always trying to figure out ways to recoup those fees. And we've had discussions with the board before about maybe going to some of these people and knocking off 50%, they pay the other 50%, get it off the book and count some money, but it never goes.
Well, and you're not the only entity after these people for unpaid fees of some sort or another.
Well, we one of the things probably that occur under my saddle is we charge for like around here $55 a day, but the DOC won't give us $50.
Okay. In that conversation, as the sheriff said, we had that conversation with state auditors this year, and we went to write some of those off. Should there be a policy as far as after so many years, write them off? Because that counts as capable.
Well, it does keep growing, and at least I don't know what the answer would probably be to that, because we have some people that go through the revolving door and keep coming back, and then forget them their debt, and then knowing they're going to be back in a short order of time, and it's going to keep growing. What we do try to do, I believe, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but when somebody sees, then we take those funds and put them off the books. But until then, I just don't know how you'd like to do that.
No, I don't have a preference. I'm saying that this conversation was had with the state auditors this year when we were meeting for the final review. And they'd already talked to you about it, so you know where they came from.
Yep.
And just so you know also, the after a certain number of days or after we've not received room and board payments, we do turn those over to the clerk of court, and then it's attached to their fines and the court costs. So then they actually make collections, and we get a check from them once a month with the room and board that they've actually collected. So it is a...
After restitution, right?
We're the last restitution is everything else been taken care of. Anything else they might like before, we would just ask.
Thank you.
I'd like to just ask a follow-up question on this. Sheriff, you said that you had talked to the board a few years ago about doing like a 50% off, okay, just to get it some money in and clear it off the book.
That was an example of some of the ideas that we'd come up with and what we could do to maybe bring in some revenue.
Okay, and so because of that, that's just once again a discussion. It's not reliant upon official board policy. The board wouldn't have to pass something like that, would it?
Well, we never got that far in the discussion stage for that. Before we implement any kind of policy, what we do is we run by the county attorney's office and we seek their guidance if this is something that requires board action or if it should be policy.
Okay, thank you.
And let's not forget the county attorney's office has an active program for mine for covering that they're working for. So if it's my turn, there was only one item that I think we're a little light on in the revenue side, and that's weapons permits. I think we're going to do better than the $30,000 that we got there. It's not a big number. It's not a big deal. But that's, you know, Connie, that's the one area I think we're underestimating what we're actually going to bring in.
The issue with the weapons permit is, in 2010, the legislature changed and went from an annual permit to a five-year permit. So that began in January of 2011. And when that took over, we had a huge increase. And then we had the same conversation with the board. The next year, it was way down. Well, all these people had a five-year permit. So we're looking at the new people that come in. We're looking at people that might move in from another county that come in and get their permit or whatever. And that's why it goes down. So it's kind of cyclical. Every 5 years, you'll start seeing a big upswing, and then it'll come back down. And it's just, you know, it's kind of a roller coaster ride to that. So.
And we're looking at the FY 20 budget, which is 19. We're looking at the FY 20 budget, which is July 19 to June 20.
Okay.
So are you saying maybe where that will come in is next year you'll see the big increase again rather than this, because the law was effective July 1, 2010. No.
And also to that point, just so that the board is aware, Connie and I take care of the revenues, and as we are forecasting, we want to make sure we're giving you fairly accurate figures, and so we try not to inflate those things. Rick's probably right that there's probably going to be a little bit more in that line item, but we're not for sure on that based on the forecasting we've seen. So we want to give as true numbers as we possibly can without overinflating things, making you think that there's more money that's going to be coming than there are. That's been our philosophy moving forward with the revenue.
Right, and like I said, I don't think it's a big, I think it's a 10,000, I think realistically we're $40,000 in weapons permits, and you got it at 30, and in a $1.2 billion revenue, that $10,000 is not a huge deal. I just think it's probably closer to 40, and you're being careful as I see it and coming in at 30. That's all.
Well, I try to be conservative.
Absolutely.
I think overall that's the kind of the approach taken. I believe I've gotten that impression from Mrs. Markley over the time, right? She's rather conservative for us. Okay.
Judge, care of prisoners, I'm sorry, I just have another question. It's 2502, and at the top of 153. Can you tell me an idea of what percentage of our prisoners are from the various jurisdictions? Sounds full in the last year.
And again, that flows different too. We used to hold for the marshals quite a bit. Now today we have two marshals prisoners in our facility. We did have a number of Dallas County, but that's gone down. We have two Dallas County, but where we just hold for folks. Now we're setting at 20 full county inmates. And our ICE now, we're holding for ICE, that fluctuates too. That can go anywhere from 9 to down to 1. And I think today we're setting 5 ICE.
5 today, we've got 6 coming in this morning.
We have 5 ICE today. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I can give you that exact count.
And an additional 6, is that?
And are those court order? They're all court order, I'm saying.
Well, we can only hold if it's a warrant or an affidavit that's filed with probable cause. And right now today we have 5 ICE, 2 U.S. Marshals, 2 Dallas County, and 20 folk. So that's where when we do, we're at this place last year, we weren't anticipating Polk County. And we were kind of looking at Dallas, but for some reason Dallas has gone down. So, but we've more than made up for Dallas County pulling theirs out by Polk County bringing theirs out.
And what do they charge?
$55? Is that correct?
Oh, okay.
$55 from Marshall, then the federal inmates, what do they charge?
70.
Pardon me?
70.
And we've asked that to be reviewed by the federal marshals, and they're going to do that review now to see if you need to increase, if they allow for an increase in that rate as well.
And when they charge, we're actually saying what we bill them.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And you can see that's cut them off.
Christ, it's not less.
Better than more, I understand where you're going, or where you're going.
Okay, I'm sorry, now that is all my revenue questions.
All right, so I have one, and it has to do with the dive team, that donation and the account. I'm going to test my memory and see how bad it may be. All right, at one time, I remember sitting out in the audience hearing the discussion on the dive team, and that my memory is that the dive team expenses were paid from the donation dive team account.
No.
Thank you. So, all right.
The dive team could not anywhere begin to be paid for the donation we get. When we give the donation to the dive team, that would be if we recover a body, the family is usually very appreciative, so they will sometimes come in and give the dive team a check. If we're searching for something and the public might see, like, the type of boat we had that Squaw Creek, I think, was that flooded a couple, 3 years ago, and there was a girl in a vehicle in the water, and we had to have firemen bring the duck boat in because that was hitting our boat. We couldn't carry that with the put it in anywhere. So this is a different type of boat we're asking for, like swift water rescue and things with the flooding and that we do have. I was just talking to Gilbert actually.
That's Swan Creek one.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, because when I went through and added up kind of the biggest best chunk for the dive team, and I came up with about $35,000. And I said, all right, thank you. That's helpful that my number was off.
Dolores.
Yes.
Your memory might not be completely up, because there are times where we identify a piece of equipment that we go out and solicit donations specifically for that dive team piece of equipment. And so that may be what you're remembering, but the totality of the dive budget, there's no way we could fund it that way. But we have taken that mantle every once in a while to go out and find a specific piece of equipment.
All right, well, thank you. Okay, I'm done with revenues then. All right, moving on to. Next would be the 99 account.
Next would be the next thing in your book is the additional position.
Okay, sorry about that.
And then it's the department, the sheriff's department, and the department of human experience.
Thank you, because you had said, all right. It's good. We all have memory refreshes this morning. All right. Let's talk about the additional telecommunicator position now. You've done a pretty good job of laying it out. Want to come up and just recap quickly about the benefits of adding another telecommunicator?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to move out of the way?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the position that we did in the past that has helped us to a certain degree, but we just can't get beyond what the needs are within the division. We continue to battle, as the sheriff talked about earlier, recruitment. It's hard to find people that have the appropriate skill sets, so we match nationwide across the industry. We struggle to fill those positions, which takes us a great deal of time to get them filled, which then leads to overtime, staff burnout, wellness within the position is a concern, obviously. And then we've been working with Alyssa over the last several years. She can put a lot of different really factors, obviously, that we need to look at for the division, and so we've been strategizing with that and trying to work in those relief factors, whether that's FMLA, sick call, vacation, military leave. And so that's what we've provided for you to outline what is potentially necessary for the division. I have two sets of staff within my division. I have very senior staff, and then I have a newer generation. And so any time that we lose a position or a person within the division, that automatically shifts us into overtime, which is becoming extremely difficult for everyone, but more potentially the senior staff within the division. It's hard to come in at 3 o'clock in the morning and work folks on our shifts and not having any relief insight, if you will, for an extended period of time. So I don't know if there's more information that you'd like me to provide with that. I can say we have great staff, and I don't see abuse as far as sick leave and different things within the division, and they're doing the best that they possibly can. We've done everything as far as to accommodate, trying to keep the overtime down one person off at a time within the division, and so I'm not sure what else we can do. So that's why we come to you today to ask for consideration of another position so that we don't run into the county having to pay overtime every time we lose a position or have to pay for it by half.
Supervisor Sanders.
So we were 49,000 in overtime in communication in 18. What are we tracking for 19? Do we know that?
I don't have a number.
Okay.
I have it's 1,014 hours.
Okay. Well, so there's half a position at least. And if we were to approve this position, what would we expect that would do to our overtime? I mean, clearly it's not going to eliminate it completely, but what kind of impact would we expect it to have?
When you approved the last position and we were full staff, I believe overtime was pretty much nothing. I mean, I know there were a few hours here and there, but we've had a vacant spot since the end of June because we tested three times. We're just unable to find the person that can fit this. And this is a problem running into. If we have an additional person, if one person leaves on FMLA, or we're at a point where two people are going to be on FMLA plus a major position, we just need the person.
Sure.
Do you need to further exemplify what you said was that when we're down and people, as Nina said, are now coming in the middle of the night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, that affects their morale, in fact, how they're fatigued, and when their days off are constantly interrupted and canceled, that is going to start increasing sick call too. And so to have a healthier employee, to have reduced sick call from that factor, I think we clearly seen last time when we had the other person hired and we stayed at full staff with nobody leaving, the only thing we'd have was occasional somebody calling sick. It was amazing to see how much overtime went away.
Yep. Thank you.
Supervisor Griffin. You have 11 telecommunicators now. Is that correct? And the 1.2 relief factor is based on current sick and vacation leave usage. That means basically for any post you need 1.2 staff authorized to cover. Okay. Got it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so I just asked Alyssa if you had a chance to review this and if you have any thoughts.
I have had a chance to review. I actually worked with them on the concept of the relief factor. I believe this is the first time we've actually provided for the communications position. I know the jail does it. It's hard to estimate, like I said, you know, how much military leave. So they've taken, you know, put in the best numbers. Clearly, they're at least one position short, in my opinion.
Okay.
I don't have any questions. I think that the office always does a good job of explaining and documenting why an extra position is needed. And I think it's a stressful job as a telecommunicator. Not that the department, the deputies aren't, or not that, you know, the jail, the correctional people are, but I think sometimes we forget. And I had a unique experience over this last holiday,
first of the year. I was the only person in the office, and people were calling still and looking to talk to dispatch, and we had an odd call or a possible panic situation, you know, during that. And I was so impressed about how your staff handled it, including helping me and following up with me on both of these issues. So I see the numbers, I see how you've documented everything. Good sense to me. I'm in favor of budgeting for that extra position.
Yeah, so my only final question is, what you presented to us in terms of estimates with overtime numbers, have you calculated in approval of this position or not approval of this position? All right, and so I would just ask that you guys work with Lisa to make sure that we get solid, what we expect are solid overtime numbers if this position is approved. As I understand, the way it will work is we talk about what we would budget here, but we need to come back in a regular board meeting to actually approve the position.
All right, thank you.
Another point I'd like to just make the board aware of, not for consideration or action today, but no later than June, we have two detention officers that are receiving their orders to going out for a year, sir. So we'll be back to the board, and we've began a process several years ago to cover that time while they're gone. And I'll be back and talk with you about that then. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Okay. Now we are moving on. I'm looking over. Now we're headed to the expenses, the regular sheriff's office expenses, correct?
Yeah. Page, the middle of page 155. Basically, what we're going to start with probably is employee risk employment risk assessment. Yep. And explanations for that start on page 168. So now it's just a matter of whether you go line by line or ask questions or how you want to do it.
All right, well, given what we had discussed earlier, and the fact that the sheriff and the sheriff's staff will go ahead and take care of a lot of the fine-tuning, let's try with just asking about those items that we may have marked already for as we went through the budget here prematurely. So, once again, we are on page 168. And it's the second item there, employment recruitment. And this has the series to have gone up a bit. Do either of you have any questions? Supervisor Merkin or Supervisor Sanders?
No, I think it's harder to recruit.
Yeah. I assume that it was because you have to take additional efforts in reposting the position.
We've tested three times now, just the third time to dispatch, and trying to get people in. We get somebody that goes through testing, and they're washed out either in a psychological test or tennis going through or whatever. And as an example, this last time, we tried radio advertisements on KSI and their FM channel. And we ran that. I heard the ad a few times. But here again, whenever somebody comes in and we do the test, we always query them. How did you find out about this? We want to know what's most effective. Most effective has been the social media. And so we can now eliminate what we spent on radio ads because we tried that and that was not an effect. But now, how can we better reach out to social media and things like this to try to get a larger quantity and quality of individuals?
I'm planning on boosting posts.
Pardon me?
Are you planning on boosting posts? Because that would be your only expense on social media, including Facebook.
Boosting posts, I guess. I'm from the old days.
I'm more frequent page of posts on Facebook.
Yeah, like $5 to boost a post to send, and to a bigger audience.
Well, I guess that's nothing that's been brought to my attention yet. But I younger people in the office that are very much more
familiar with that.
But we're looking at a variety of different ways of improving that. We have a social media group that we put together within the sheriff's office, and they're looking at the Twitter and Facebook and all these things that that would be utilized, not only for recruitment, but for getting domestic jobs, the sheriff's office out, and other things that we put out in public. So we do have a committee that we established a couple of years ago doing that, and we'll see what we can do, and next year we can get back to you on the booth.
Well, the reason I ask is because you're replacing, if you're using social media and less radio, you're looking at something you had to pay for and looking at something that's basically free. However, if you really want to get the best use out of Facebook posts, you want to boost them, and it's pretty reasonable, it's pretty inexpensive compared to radio and the other things you've been looking at. So I think you could easily do it within the budget.
Any suggestions we would appreciate. But the thing is, like I said, it's just not any agency to go through is having the exact same difficulty. I sent people out of state to recruitment courses that are being offered, and it's just, you know, they come back with some good ideas. But here again, you know, some cost to do and others don't. But I mean, there's nothing in the well. It's hard to bring them up out of here.
The other question I have is about uniforms. It seemed like there were a lot of uniforms. Do you replace uniforms? Is this a big replacement, or do you do that regularly?
We have so much allocated to each employee, depending upon what division they are, for uniforms. We also have, when someone, say when they leave after they have a uniform, we have stored in a warehouse, and we will take the uniform trip. So when we hire somebody, we will first go in there and outfit them with what uniforms are available, and then whatever it is that we purchase. Like me, I know that, what's that? Oh, okay, yeah. Now I pointed out that uniforms is also uniforms and equipment, and that's where we also have $25,000 growth, which would bring that not saying I want to, but it would take $25,000 for that line item to be more reasonable. But no, we try to make the use of the uniforms we can. I have a problem with my uniforms that I keep in the closet for sure after a while.
I can't imagine. My entire closet is the clothing that it does that.
You said take $25,000 where?
The drone, get the uniforms and equipment. I'm the equipment line item is the drone.
Oh.
Yeah. And the support services, you're going to go, oh, maybe tapping on the page of getting a manned aerial system.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it looks like there's such a significant increase in that line item.
Okay. And what's a speed trailer?
Speed trailer is when you go to a community and you pass this little item that flashes your speed up how fast you're going. The one we had also did digital recording, and it gave us analysis so we could figure out where what community had the most speeding going on, and we could concentrate more enforcement at the time. But after a while, the trailer became so costly to try to keep it fixed and up and running, we just sent it to salvage. And the past 2 years, we put in for grants, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau for the trailer. They take it out, we put it in budgets and this, but we still get calls from communities wanting to speak here. The other things that I talked about at the start, when we began, those things, the speed trailer guy, both drone or all, or the uniforms and equipment minor.
I'm looking for the guy, the boat.
Page 171. Oh, there we are in good touch. Yeah, about halfway down the page.
Here we go. Interesting that the motor costs more than the boat, isn't it?
You got a strong current, one of them's going to push you in
the
water.
Yeah. How's everybody still doing here?
I'm okay until about 3:02. But I didn't have any questions on your question.
Yeah, I think 3:02 is a big topic, right, with the medical. And Sheriff, you said at the beginning, that you are interested in keeping, as I heard you, yes, you're interested in keeping the contract in your budget, but removing the I'd like to know what you'd like to remove and take to 99, and what benefit do you think that
has? What that has, that we would keep within our budget, the medical contract, the employee vaccination, and then there's some other minutia things that are better in a moment there. But the big thing that really skews our budget and really takes out the predictability is when we have an inmate that comes in that is under special medical care, or they have a situation where they have chest pain and doctors are taken to the hospital. And so they're taken to the hospital and all those costs come up. We can budget, what, $30,000, Connie? And it's not unusual to get up to as high as how much?
The 3-year average is $85,000.
So you see how much it's at, which is destroys our budget.
The first two, or the second two line items, the medical center offset and the upper story county and Mary Greeley. Those are the two items that they're mainly referring to.
So,
and
medication. Yeah, I was going to say, it's actually,
and Berkeley.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the three of them as I understood here. So we really are looking at the about 90,000.
What about the dental care and the radiology?
What's that?
We want to take that as well. That would be an outpatient.
And radiology is they have to go with the exam for
so we're up to 95.
And then on-site medical providers, specialty on the next page, on 33.
On-site, what's this on?
Specialty on-site.
That's
okay. If there's another case that they would kind of think about.
If you want that in there.
So the one thing to leaving in this account then are the 859s and the employee and and 385
for Jim's OHE testing. Yep. And all the rest of that is contract.
The
first title was 248.
Got it.
Oh,
yes.
So we get an inmate in, and they may be, like, we have one comes in, or not one, we had several come in that have HIV, and their medications are just amazing. We work in the county attorney's office to try to get them released or out of the jail as quick as we can and moved on. But those costs still come back up. They have to take somebody out, they have dental care, they have whatever. These are things that mount up that just destroy when we try to have a budget out that has any kind of predictability at all.
So basically, we would be shifting this to the Board of Supervisors. Is that where it would go, countywide Board of Supervisors? As far as the line item goes,
so right now the sheriff has a couple of line items countywide, same funding source, general fund. That the Board of Supervisors has final approval on, basically, and that's the vehicles and the court order services. So right now, it depends on how much we budget in general for vehicles as to what that amount is. But the court ordered services is usually in the $35,000 range, is what we put in that line or in the budget. So in reality, it's all coming in the same place. It's just under the supervisor's authorization also.
You have contract rates with the providers, so they do give you a discount.
Yeah,
we get 18% for Story County.
Actually, come to 20 now for Story County and 25 for Mary Greeley, though, willing to give us.
So I'm trying to analyze in my head exactly where this benefit would come in for your department, for your office. And it would be in, like you say, you can't control those to the extent like you can so many other expenses. But what's the downside of it for your department if it's left there? Is it just that you may appear to be going over budget?
It's not a matter of appearing to be over budget. It is over budget. And we have an operational portion, which is the smallest portion of my budget.
Right.
And So we have the operational portion, and we have one line item that comes in so much higher, 2 to 3 times higher than what we may have budgeted for, then that's other things that we negotiated with the board for that we have to start cutting out of the budget in order to pay for, just so we absorb those costs.
The way it's been handled in the past is that the board puts a number, or we talk about a number that needs to be in there to cover the cost, and then if the sheriff finds that the costs are going up substantially, then the board asks for an amendment to that line item for additional funds, as opposed to just absorbing all of it, depending on the amount, as to whether he's going to ask for an amendment or not.
Okay. So is it a case of when all these uncontrollable costs have no control over are still in your budget, there's a possibility that you could be told, well, find it. But if it's out of your budget and it's in some place that's not going to be the case. That's what you're looking at.
But each year as we build our budget, as we try to do it each year, if we have one line item that skews it all over the place, it's hard to compare apples to apples.
Okay.
So we take that out, and we know what the medical contract is going to be. We negotiate that, and that's in our budget proposal that we bring before the supervisors. The vaccinations, other miscellaneous stuff that we saying we keep in there, but these things that are just we have no control over, that's what we're asking to do tonight.
Sure, I understand that. My question is, are you going to come back and find some other things and say, this is also totally out of our control, so move it to 99?
You mean throughout the rest of the budget?
Yeah. Yeah.
If it would be something, or next year. If it would be something that would totally our budget in such a way that would be detrimental to the operational portion of the budget, I think that's worth having conversations for the supervisors on. And this is not saying it wouldn't happen, but I do not see at this time anything in my budget that really skews the budget. Everything else is predictable. We go with that, and if there's anything above what we negotiated on, my history has clearly been that I've always come to the board of supervisors, and I talk to the board and lay out what issues I have. And either I find it in my budget, or I can do that, and then you put it on the agenda, and I come and I present it in front of the board.
And I understand totally why you're saying you would like this to kind of be separate and not impacting the rest of your budget, not jeopardizing the rest of your budget. I'm just trying to figure out where it might go on. Precedence. Has this happened with other elected officials' budgets? Do we have any precedent? Other departments, other elected officials?
We have precedent with the sheriff. We don't have precedent anywhere else. We've done it with the sheriff. Vehicles and
the
services.
Okay. That answers my. It's a learning experience for me. That answers my question. Thank you.
So I think it makes perfect sense. What it means to me is that we would take this line item down to 250, roughly, down to 250, and it gives you more certainty in your budget. I mean, let's just be clear of what's happened here the last few years. Last few years, as I recall, you come to the table today and had the number that you really thought was going to be, and generally we send you away and say, okay, we can't increase to the level that you're proposing. And so as you go through and you figure out where you're going to cut your request, this has been one of the items you've gone to cut. Now this just removes that from the conversation, and it says, hey, we recognize all the way through that we're going to pay what we have to pay in this year. We have to. So let's move it out of the budget, and it gives you more certainty as you manage your budget. And frankly, it makes it a cleaner conversation when we say, well, we can't afford a $100,000 increase. We can only afford a $50,000 increase in operations. Go figure it out. Now, do you cut the drone? Do you cut the, you make the decisions of what's happening.
Thank you.
I understand this. Obviously, we could still, if we need ever do an in-depth analysis of the jail-related medical costs, we're capable of adding in those various different codes, right, and coming up with that cost for you. I'd like to look at the precedent or what may come next, though, because the other line item that immediately came to my mind with yours about coming back saying we can't control it would be countywide, and that's the cost of gasoline, maintenance, the fuel, okay? You know, so those are big line items for some departments and offices. So I'm just trying to look at precedent here.
So let me respond to that a little bit. First of all, last couple of years, we have looked in the direction of Board of Supervisors because what you want to give for fuel, it's for countywide.
Correct.
So you suggested a number, like this year was $3 a gallon. We put that into our budget, and that's what it is. If something happens, the gas goes to $4 a gallon, and it's really hitting us, that's when we come back to the Board of Supervisors and ask for a budget amendment. But when we have a known amount, like you're giving us, that's something we can budget on.
So now I'm going to ask the opposite. Let's say that we end up with gas ever goes about $2.50. Ha ha ha. But okay, so right. So then that additional money stays in your budget, though, and it's to pay for a direct cost. So would there be opportunity in the future to take a look and say, oh, well, everybody, just pay $2.50 a gallon average by the time we got to the year. So, but we as Board of Supervisors in our general countywide fund, end up that we would like to do a project that we haven't budgeted for. Please have no more of the Justice Center fall in, fall out, break, okay, but you know, something like that. Would you anticipate having a problem with us coming back then and asking for that 50 cents a gallon?
We've already demonstrated that for us in years before you were here. Right. We've had times where the county budget was not necessarily in trouble, but the way the state was, it put the county budget at a disadvantage.
Sure.
And so they came, once you appropriated budget to an elected official, it's my money. But now, when the board comes to us, we've always worked with the board. And when we were high, we were happy to give back. We did it back here, and we will certainly continue to do that. We're all in this together. And I know by being a stickler this year, it's going to bite me next year. And, yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, it's just common sense. And so the thing is, I would rather get along with my board supervisors. Okay? Something that the sheriff's office can do to help us out. We're here for you.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for the honesty of that answer, too. And okay, thank you on that. All right. So are we all three in agreement with direction to Lisa Markley to move that, create this as a line item for 99 in the county one? Other supervisors?
Yeah, I'm suggesting that we move to medical care as a $250 line item in the sheriff's budget, recognizing that that is only the contract. And I think you said employee vaccinations, right. And maybe there was one other item that was not off-site, off-site, statutorily required payments that just are what they are,
yeah.
Right? And then we, if moving to 99, we get the option to plug in whatever number we want to plug in. The reality is it's probably about a $100,000 line item. But if we want to only plug in 50, that's fine. We just got to find the money to actually spend what it costs.
Okay. I'm fine with it also. I do have one other question on this. What's pre-incarceration medical care? They've been arrested, but you have to take them to the hospital before you can bring them into the jail because of some problem.
We have, if we're going to accept someone, we want them to be medically suitable. Come into the jail. So one of the policies that I created a few years ago is somebody's arrested, they have blood alcohol of higher than 2.5. The arresting agency has to take them somewhere to get checked out, and the doctor can say, yes, they're safe enough to come into the jail. Then they bring them in. And because so if somebody comes in at 58 in the jail that wasn't checked out, that gives liability to the county. But by doing this, we shift the liability to hospitals, paramedics, or whoever gave the clarification that they were suitable to commit to jail.
Is that the only situation, or is that the
most? No, there'd be many others. Sometimes while you're transporting a subject to the jail, they may cause self-harm. They may just have a medical issue, a natural medical issue, whether it's, you know, heart issues or whatever it is. that prior to actually having them incarcerated.
They're arrested and they're in custody. They're just not physically in the jail yet. So you know, so it probably can't go back against any really third party at that point. It's got to be your budget.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, right now, statutorily, sheriff's office has to incur that expense.
Okay.
If HPD arrests somebody and they're injured during the arrest and they need medical attention before they get to our jail, the county's responsible for the funding to take care of it. Yeah, that's the same look that we give.
If they would shoot somebody and they would go to the hospital and be there for a couple months for treatment, the county pays everybody. We had talked about this legislative with ISAC, and we've talked about it at the state level, but right now the municipalities seem to have a little bit more swing than the county
level. Yeah.
And we've had it right into the threshold where it's going to be changed. The municipalities stepped in and taken it right off the table.
Thank you.
Can I say one more thing about the medical costs? Just so you are aware, we have not put on the agenda yet. We're in the process of working with County Attorney Ethan Anderson on a contract with a company that would actually come into the jail and provide x-ray service, so we would not have to use manpower to take people off site, possibly overtime, transport costs, and all that. If you have to have two men go, we're working on a contract with a medical service like that.
Right, but now we're suggesting if that would come online.
That's why I wanted to bring it to your attention, that that would be an in-house, yet we're having people come in to do the service. That's why I wanted you to be aware of that.
So that would stay in this line.
It would go to your 99 line. Now, right.
The only thing that would stay in our line item, as I understand it, is the 248 and the $1,000 that we have for vaccinations. And was there one other?
We just put something, et cetera, in there.
Yeah, there's something else. Which is why I went at $250,000.
Yeah, correct. Rounded for me.
So tell me again what this contract is going to be for. I'm sorry.
If someone falls out of the box and has to get an x-ray, and I'm just throwing something out there, we would have to take them to go get an x-ray, make sure their control is not broken. We're working on a contract with a company that would come to us as opposed to us having to take manpower and the inmate out to go get the service done.
Okay, so it wouldn't be off-site medical care, it would be in-jail medical care.
It's going to replace the off-site. But instead of us taking someone out, someone's going to be coming in.
That service is not negotiated into our contract that we have to pay for.
And it's replacing the off-site.
The Iowa radiology.
Okay, got it.
Okay. I just want that.
Okay.
Sure. But that's something that would come to the board anyway,
right.
And we'll recognize what line item that would be. We'll compare it to the $1,500 that we expect to have budgeted, and we'll be able to talk that through. So, Lawrence, I'm proposing that we go to $250,000 in this line item. But more importantly to me, what that does is that changes the amount that I believe we're requesting is an increase from $170,000 down to
$110,000. Okay.
I'm talking bottom line.
I'm good with that. Sounds like Supervisor Murphy wants. That's what I'm going to shop off of Murphy. Okay. All right. Moving on down here as far as other topics. Under what we've got, the sheriff's office expense account.
What page
are you on? I'm at now 174 for the item I just want to ask about, which happens to be training for the administration. But and I'm just adding up all of the various trainings. And for like both the National Sheriff's Association, the DAPLO, Sheriff Inco, et cetera. So is that a combination of training and meetings, or is that strictly just additional training outside of what you would go to the regular meetings?
For me, it is going to meetings that I have, and then while we're at these meetings, they also have workshops in that agreement. So you kind of get a little bit of votes. For others that are peppered throughout my office, mm-hmm. that will be going to these. They will be going specifically more to training. such as one of the things we have coming up that is we've had several go to already, but it's totally paid for by the federal government. Lieutenant Backus this summer is going to the FBI National Academy, and we had probably about nine or so that's been in the FBI. Captain Thomas is the past president of the FBI National Academy. Gary Backus will be going to that if money connects him to hopefully get accepted there. And
you gave it, I got it up on an answer. I thought some of these would be combinations, so I just wanted to make sure meeting wasn't somewhere, also somewhere else, or with due membership or whatever. Okay.
I feel it's important for this office to stay engaged at the national level as well as the state level, and we can't do that or have the effectiveness if we don't play. And so this is where Kathy Thomas has been involved in the level he has been in. We've had Dina, John Office, and others that have gone and participated and brought things back to the county. Now, Nick Money is coming up to that position. I'm trying to get him into D.C. to be introduced. I've already got him on a couple of Homeland Security Department areas. Gary Backus is on. He's just been made vice chair of
the interagency board.
Congratulations. So anyway, Story County is recognized nationally for what we do, and it's just not having recognition for things that we bring back to Story County and the state of Iowa and citizens.
And I believe you brought back some experimental or advanced technology that we've been able to use for free. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. No, I was just kind of wondering about where the split out was. Okay, thank you for that.
I have a question on that and the next consultant fees. When you look at what you've used this year, you used 26% and 12% respectively. Now, I have a guess that on the training, it's because a good share of your training is in the spring. Because
yeah,
because no reason besides that, or is that?
They receive PR in spring, and that's a spark bill. And then also, they have to recertify on gas masks. We have been fortunate where, in some years past, doctors have donated their time and have not filled us, so we have not guaranteed.
So, how much is in there for that last thing to check that the doctor's not billing? Is that a huge part of that?
That 710 that they've spent in consulting fees is not accurate because it is accurate, but as of yesterday or the day before, we have two planes here moving for about, was that 1,400? Was that percent?
I believe I'm good here until we get down and we get to the line 99 now. But also your list, Sheriff Fitzgerald, as you ran your list about topics.
Yeah.
Do you think we've left anything out for the sheriff's office budget, this department budget?
Well, I would just like to make a note for the board to see that we've you've volunteered quite extensively through our office. And I think we were one of the first offices that recognized the value, and you have such a great number. And this year, we've had 4,920 and a half hours that we've documented that have been given to us by volunteers, which equate into an average of 2.37 employees that we saved. And they would be using UC staff for when people come in to visit inmates in the jail, they have to go out and set and book. Now we have the staff that does all that. A lot of the maintenance, mowing, care at the range, volunteers come out and do that. They help putting on our Citizens Academy, they will come in and do that. We have volunteers that are coming in to transfer all our files. Instead of hiring an outside agency to do that, RSVP is the right people to come over into our office and doing all that copying and putting it into the file as well as other things. So it's just been tremendous. We've had the dive teams have over 1,000 hours, Citizens Academy 261. The reserves themselves have put in over 2,300 hours. The jail volunteers have been over 1,172, and the chaplain hours is over 190. So,
Do you do a large scale volunteer recognition event every year, Deb?
We put something together. It hasn't been as in some years it hadn't been as strong as others, but we put it in within the charge of the first
okay.
I guess the answer is
similar to the one I had previously, investigations on 492 and 5, you budgeted 41% higher than this year.
What page are you on?
Page 166. Second line from the bottom.
So here, this is about here, the bottom one, 81 and 80. This line item is taken for our investigators that we have plus to pay for our portion of drug task force. So we rent buy money that supplies out of supplies. So the drug task force has their own separate fund. Separate budget, non-budgetary, and then quarterly, the sheriff's office fills out all of the fills out to Ames, Iowa State University County Attorney's Office, we just have Boone County join us. So they build that out, and then they put they pay it out of here, so the sheriff's portion and the drug task force.
The whole casting area of the Central Iowa Drug Task Force is Story, Boone, Greene Counties. We now just got Webster County has expressed interest in joining us. Webster County and Fort Dodge. And then our next step is to go out to Hamilton County and talk to the sheriff up there and the Western City Police Chief.
So it's 41% increase. So. I mean,
is that in buy money?
Our, as a, what's that? Well, our last drug task force meeting we had last week, they had requested additional buy money because the amount of drugs that they're pulling in, buying in off the street has increased. And they've been busy with that. We moved to a new, locations of the drug task force. The one we're currently in, the attorney needed that space back, and so they gave it to us at a real reduced rate. So we had to find another place to house the drug task force. So we've done that now.
The buying on the end of the drug task force is $37.50, so that's the item that's increased significantly. I'm looking at page 182 now.
Yes, I would say that.
Yes.
And the evidence, and then within the line, if you go to the last line of page 181, the evidence and all the office supplies still have increased.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Last call, if you will, for under the sheriff's office.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're, I mean, I think we're at the end of my items, I hope, but
yeah.
I don't think we're at the end of the conversation.
Oh, no.
So I've got this as a request for $110,000, roughly, increase in operations. That's 7.6% increase in operations. Morris, I think I see it differently than you. I recognize that this is all part of one big budget that we're trying to work with, but the reality is we know our employee costs are going to go up between 4.5% and 5%.
Correct.
Yes, no. Plus the additional new position that we're saying we're going to increase. So we know that on the employee cost side, we're going to be probably north of 5% that we're going up. While it would be great if we could say, well, that means that we're not doing anything operationally, the reality is we're going to go up a little bit operationally, but if we allow any of our budgets to go up by more than 3 to 3.5% on an operations point of view, it's not sustainable. It's just flat out not sustainable. And so what I'm proposing is that it looks to be like instead of a $110,000 increase in your operations, we can afford more like a $50,000 increase in your operations this year. And so I'm proposing that you guys go back and you find $60,000 in the non-employee portion, so that's below overtime, that's below everything, and it's not in medical costs now that we've dealt with that. So it's $60,000, and if that's drones or boats or whatever it is, great. But I don't think we can go more than $50,000, and that's what I'm proposing. And that would be about 3.5% increase in operations.
My first perspective look now, using yours of taking out the employee, I come up somewhere around the same 3.5 to 4%. So I could go in with 50,000 for operational increase, or find about 60,000 to still have to cut from as stated by Supervisor Sanders.
Supervisor Murphy. Does it matter if it's a one-time cost or continued operating cost? Is there any reason that matters?
So, from my view, Linda, I'm asking our professionals to figure out where it comes from, and we have this conversation every year. I mean, we have this exact same conversation every year, and we trust our professionals, and there's going to come a point that the sheriff is going to say, okay, I've taken the drone out the last 3 years. I'm not taking it out this year, but that means I've got to go find some savings somewhere else.
Just a question, just for clarification as to whether it matters for any reason. And I'm hearing it doesn't.
Well, especially since I consider a drone or the purchase of the boat motor or whatever as more of a one-time cost. I mean, you know, we're going to hope this lasts for several
years. If you're operating again, you've got to find back for it next year.
Right. So that, to me, they are kind of lumped into that. Okay. All right. We're down to one back for us, and we can move on to the
90,000 in the direction we're given.
We're given a reduction still of about 60,000, or an increase of 50,000 more over last year's operating cost.
Yeah, probably the right way.
Sheriff's office.
Probably the right way is we'll find $60,000.
Let me ask just throw the stuff out, I think maybe will happen. But if we would look at that 50 or maybe if we even come back with 80, is there a way we could start earmarking some of that fund that would save from this year and maybe next year and the year after that? Do you have a possibility of the drones? Or is that something that would be muddy the water a little bit too much from a auditing standpoint?
Yeah.
Okay. $50,000. How would you like us to come back with that, Lisa? Or do you want to have another meeting first, come back, or just work with Lisa?
Yeah, so what we've done the last few years is they send me the cuts and I forward them to you guys and show you where they cut them.
Okay.
If you want to do it that way, that's totally fine.
I don't see this as a necessary callback. Unless you decide you could only find $10,000 worth, but then, no. Can we go back, though, to the sheriff's hypothetical, theoretical, or whatever? We do accumulate funds in the general account, correct? Just kind of mark them as assigned so that some transfer over to the next year, or we adjust our fund balance, our ending fund balances accordingly to accommodate a larger purchase. Don't we? I mean, so it is possible. I mean, I hear what the sheriff is saying is could we then say that $20,000 next is earmarked to accumulate for next fiscal year, and then another $20,000 after that if they're shooting under, so that maybe they can buy that drone or buy, you know, fix that equipment.
That's all financially possible. That's all we need.
Okay, all right. So it's negotiable, it sounds like, with Ms. Markley down the road.
I'm suggesting that at some point, some year, the sheriff's going to have X number of dollars left in his budget at the end of the year, and he's going to decide to use $30,000 of that at the end of the fiscal year to buy something like the drone. That's what we've done in the past, Sheriff. When you have something like that, and you've been particularly, had a particularly good year budgetarily, you've come to the board then and said, hey, I know I didn't have this in my budget, but it's something I've been asking for repeatedly. We got the money there now. Can we go ahead and get it yet this spring? That's the way I envision something like this working.
With the understanding that I would only do that about first
contact. Right. Given your vacancies you're not being able to fill this year, might this year actually be, I didn't know if it's your estimate, I'm just going to look to ask. Might this year be a year you could do it?
We keep the salary related separate from the operating when it comes to the dollars. For them, as far as what you're asking for?
Yeah, it would be really money from salaries. That can't happen.
It can.
It can.
It can. It hasn't in recent years. What the board has done is said, we will fund 100% of actual salaries, but no more than that, and we're not going to shift money from salaries to operations. We're going to deal with operations. It can absolutely happen. It just happens.
It's a one time. It's not doing an affirmative shift. It's a one time to do it.
Sure.
But remember, as part of the process, we only plan on, as we work those budget figures, 95% of the salaries actually be played out. So we, in essence, are taking some of that shift or, you know, the vacancies already into account when we go from 100% to 95%.
When my budget's appropriated, you appropriate 95% of the salaries. We're going to say that we need it. If we ever stay close to that, then we put the other.
Then you put it in, but otherwise we don't.
My understanding of the budget is also on the same line, is that the bottom dollar of my budget is theoretically under my control. But the agreement we've had with the board here recently, so it wouldn't perhaps cleaner sweep of the budgeting process, that these things, salaries and benefits and things like this over time, is under the board's review and along with the auditor, and the operational portion of things that I need are there. Now, in the past, when I come back, I may have not had a total dollar amount under my operational boards, but if I can come to the board and the board sees what I'm seeing as a need or it's worked with me in the past and sees that have, and that's where it was perhaps come out of the salary, but the intent is that I manage the operational portion, and that's what we do. That's where.
And in fact, we did that with the new firearms.
Okay.
Right, we went and found dollars in just exactly what you're talking about. We found dollars outside the sheriff's operational budget to buy a new platform for our officers to carry. And so it is very possible to do
that.
Absolutely.
Standard item two, if you have vacancies and you're not paying out, your overtime will probably increase due to those vacancies. So there is a little shifting there from regular
salary. We don't have a line item on that.
And we're ending up here, and we've talked about the additional dispatchers, the additional staff. The question that we brought up at the first here is in having the ability, and this is something I guess you guys in the auditor is going to have to look at, if we can move forward with trying to hire that position now instead of waiting until July 1st to start next fiscal year, and we can await your guys' decision on that, how we can handle it.
And that happens on Tuesday morning. I'd say it just needs to be part of the total request.
And who did that? What they've done in the past is you come to that board meeting with the anticipated start date and kind of the amount that you would need to pay out of this current fiscal year to accommodate that.
Absolutely.
The position.
Yeah, it happens at the same time.
Right.
And
they came up with an effective date of April 1st. When you actually think you can have somebody hired.
Where are we at an accepting procedure right now? We're about to make a list, so
we're doing interviews this week.
So, if you're We'll coordinate with you.
Good. It sounds like a plan.
Okay. So do you put this, who puts that on the agenda?
The department or office.
I
can put that. But they work with, yeah, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So now the, I think the last thing we have, if Light 99 would be those two vehicles, the changes on the vehicles. So you're, you read them off earlier. One is going to be held back. You're not going to trade in, right?
Yeah, we have the 251 car, which is a reserve car that we spoke to. That it's trading in this year, so we will be holding back next year. The trading in seven cars, we'll be holding back a fully marked squad car to replace that reserve patrol car. And then we also had the ask for the additional cool car, which would, if that was approved, would allow us to hold back an unmarked car. So essentially going into next year when we're looking at buying our new vehicles to trade in five, this would be seven.
Okay. So we're getting the money for one of them this year as opposed to wishing.
That's correct.
So what the board did a few years ago was went to a straight up seven vehicles per year rotation. And the sheriff is not requesting that we change the seven vehicle a year. It's just that we would have two non-trade-ins instead of trading seven for seven. And so that impacts the bottom line. It's still seven vehicles. But we're going to spend a little more for those seven vehicles because we don't have two of the trades associated.
And that will be in fiscal year 21 or in 20? It's still this year.
No, next year. So we're in 19 now.
Sorry, I meant the what we're working on budget-wise this year. Okay. And the estimated cost, additional cost, is just the traded value of those two that would have been traded in, correct? Would you say that's what, $20,000
or? No.
There's also, I'm sorry, can I add?
It looks like it's an extra $60,000.
$60,000,
yeah. Yeah, as far as the motor vehicle purchases, in going from the 2019 to the 2020 Ford models, they're expecting to increase by $5,000 to $6,000 per vehicle. And then, of course, in addition to that, there's an increased changeover cost, which I'm assuming that would be the next question, is why there's a big jump there as well. But it's not only the loss of trading in two vehicles, but there's going to be a significant increase in the base price of the vehicle.
Because of that, they could deliver all 19.
No, it's just that was why we pushed really hard this year to try to get to 2019. We started the process early. So we get the 2019s before they stopped production on them, because they were estimating that there was going to be a significant increase in cost when they go to the 2020 model.
And that cost was just on the purchase, but to convert over your equipment, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Because every time you change a model, we need new cages, we need to push up at certain times and things to fit the new model.
So, Laura, we budgeted 266 last year.
Uh-huh.
The request this year is 334. And again, it's still seven vehicles. It's seven vehicles with only five trades and an increased cost.
All right. Thank you for helping me work through those changes. All right. Thank you.
And the other one I would add on is we now are talking about adding a $100,000 medical line item here.
Okay. Yes. So these will have to be addressed then on Friday also when we're discussing the countywide, correct?
We'll they're included in the countywide. If you have questions about them, now's the time to ask.
Nobody submit those. Yeah. Okay. No questions for me that we haven't already asked. Okay, thank you very much. Any closing remarks?
No, just appreciate the opportunity and the ways board discussing the budget and listening to what our requests are. And as the year goes on, like always, we will stay in contact with the board and we'll bring you on families and people.
Thank you, sir. That was okay. Wow. Thanks for marrying.